Good morning. We are continuing the hearing February 9th, 2017 on the Shoreline Substantial Development Permit. And Mr. Hickok, I think we had finished with you, but...
Yes, we did. I think that what I just wanted to talk about real quickly is that in our recess, we've gone over that additional letter, and the tribe and tribal representative is going to come up and just talk about that real briefly.
Okay, great.
Make sure you speak into the microphone, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record.
I'm Vivian Berry. I work with the Suquamish Tribe Fisheries Department.
Okay, and you swear to tell the truth today?
I swear to tell the truth.
Okay.
I'm Tony Forza. I'm general manager for Suquamish Seafoods.
Okay.
And promise to tell the truth.
Okay, great.
Okay, so according to this latest concerns that were emailed to Ms. Lewis, Shelley Leonard, it sounds like her main concerns are regarding noise around her dwelling, her cabin.
Yeah.
And we have addressed this in the SEPA checklist in part, but I'd be willing to just add on a little bit more, is that the oyster cultivation itself will have a lower noise output or decibels than what you can find ambient noise around. So there's a lot of traffic. There's Highway 305 that's right next door. The plant, the seafood plant, is just upland from the tideland. And they operate mostly during the day, and there might be some noise coming from the plant, but it's independent of this project proposal. So on the beach itself, mainly workers, a team of 5 to 10 workers, will be working with buckets and bags and by hand. And there's really no machinery other than a small gator, which is a four-wheel drive, a very small vehicle that will be used to go up and down from the upland to bring oysters up to the plant. Other than that, the lighting is very minimal. Headlamps are used, and occasionally there might be a...
Just during the evening, the headlamps during the evening. I think staff had mentioned that
during the
earlier
evening
today.
And occasionally, like a camping propane lamp, but no big spots will be used. So, I don't know if there's anything else to add to this concern. Do you have anything else, Tony?
No, just the issue of the shells.
Oh, yeah.
They're not piled on the beach, but they're piled generally off-site for later use, which we're not into that activity right now.
What do they do with the shells after? I'm just curious.
They're used to set the oysters. They're very valuable, actually. They're used all over the country on the East Coast as well to set oyster reefs. So basically, oysters, little larvae from oysters, love to set on these shells. So when they shuck these oysters, they keep the shells, and they pile them up, and they reuse them again in their hatcheries. Taylor Shellfish does that all the time. And then they set, these little oysters will be in the water, and they will set on these piles of oyster shells that they put in bags. That's actually what produces the colch, and that's how we buy it. We buy it like that in little bags.
I was curious. It looks like there's two types of cultivation. I don't know a lot about oyster cultivation, so I was just curious as to, I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference for purposes of the criteria that I'm looking at, but I was curious as to.
Well, the two types of cultivation, one's a single oyster in bags. They're strung on post lines, and they rock, or the Australians say rumble, with the tide. and that shapes these oysters into a round deep cup shape, which is they're very valuable for the especially the oyster bar market. And you can sell them all over the world, and they're nicely priced. The other one is like for the colch, is like for single or cluster oysters flat on the ground. You really don't have a whole lot of maintenance to them. You just get them in the bags. Once they grow up to a certain size and you spread them across the beach, and then they grow on their own, they generally take a little longer to get the market size. So that's where your medium and large oysters you see in the store.
Yeah.
That's generally that kind
of culture. The colch type. Because it takes more resources, or it's more expensive to produce the other type.
The single oysters are much more expensive.
Yeah.
Those are two very standard methods for growing oysters.
How long do they take to get to maturity?
It depends on the site. Mm-hmm. This site happens to have a lot of nutrients mm-hmm. going through because of tidal currents. So, and depending on the water temperature as well. So it can be anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half.
There's a particularly well-suited site then for oysters, is that?
It's a great site. They grow real, very, 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 very quickly. Of course, it depends on the market. Markets change. Sometimes they'll demand a 2.5 inch, and those can grow up within 6 months easy. But mostly, it's 3 inch, 6 to 8, 9 months.
Why does the market change?
It's just people's preferences.
I was just curious, in the reservation boundary, I believe it goes to the high tide mark.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
And the staff had confirmed that. I just wanted to check on that. So, yeah. Do you all have anything else?
No, I have nothing else.
Okay.
It's very straightforward project.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
And was there anything else from staff on this proposal?
The only thing I just want to put in the record is in relation to this this recent letter, and kind of to wrap mm-hmm. up this issue with noise, light, glare, things like that, and the offsite impacts with the operation itself that's before us, and we just want to just reiterate that we don't feel there will be a substantial noise impacts. We had done that through the SEPA decision, and obviously we have a mitigated determination of non-significance in relation to that. Again, there were no concerns raised from that, no SEPA appeal in relation to those noise impacts, and that's how we would typically see that addressed as a public concern. But we did feel that the mitigation and the operational plan itself was really well written, and just we feel that in that analysis of the whole project that it's supportable definitely in relation to county code.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Great. Actually, thank you.
I did have one last question for the applicant. Did you all have any questions on the conditions? I know you all have reviewed them and all that. But are you comfortable with them? These are the ones in the staff report, 1 through 22.
22, right.
No questions on them. Okay. All right. I think that's it. I'm going to approve this shoreline substantial development permit. I've reviewed the record. A lot of analysis and thought has been put into this. And I believe that it is consistent with the county's criteria. For approval. A written decision on this will be out within 10 days. Probably will actually be out before then, but I'm required to get it out within 10 days. And then it will be emailed to the planning department, and then they will forward it on to you. And just for the record, there's no one else here that wished to testify or had any other comment on this. So I think that's it. Is there anything else from staff? Any other questions for today? Okay, this was the last item. Yes, thank you. This was the last item on our agenda, so we are adjourned.